sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline.
Line. Coast to coast. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline.
Yeah, here we go, Adam. You all right?
No, I'm angry.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. I'm Dr. Drew, that's Adam Carolla, yada, yada, yada. You're pre-pissed because...
No goddamn place to park around here, but number two, I got the short mic cord, which means I can't get into the full shuttle launch position I normally like to do the show
you
from.
You want
to
switch this?
I think that's six of one, half that... Yeah, all right, wait a minute, how are you going to use mine?
I don't mind leaning forward.
This is fine.
Hold on one second. This is cool.
That's not going to work.
What's wrong with this?
Anderson's pissed. That's not going to work. All right, hey, I'm good. You good?
I'm fine.
All right. Chill there, Anderson. Everything's looking good. All right. What's going on tonight? Well, the Offspring are in here tonight. Dexter and Noodles are both here from the band. And Drew, if you'd pay attention to me for a second, you would finish this part of the plug.
Yes. Oh, I'd finish it?
Do you have information on the benefit that they're here to plug or any of that stuff? Do you have any of that information? Do you have a piece of paper that's right underneath your hand that has things highlighted on it? No?
If you recall, when I was asked about that, I was told Adam has that information.
No, you had your head buried in a goddamn magazine, and you wouldn't put your head up.
I'm reading his bio.
You wouldn't put your head up.
And I said, and where is it? I know nothing.
Why is it underneath you?
Because I didn't know it was here until you brought it to my attention.
How did it get underneath your hand?
I don't know how it got here, Adam. Do you think? Let me understand this. I'm willfully trying not to cooperate with you.
No,
read what's here.
I'm saying you're not paying attention.
Life Rolls On, a nonprofit group founded by former surf star and quadriplegic Jesse Billauer, whose six-page bio I was reading here while you were screwing around with the stuff on the Life Rolls On.
Except for when the show began, you wouldn't put it down and tilt your head up. That thing was handed to you, or I handed it to you right as the show began. That's
okay.
Whatever.
All right, listen, you were doing your job, fine. This one's a push. But yeah. I'll be back, my friend.
No doubt. You're in a bad way, because you didn't get a parking place with your name on it.
I'm good. All right, I'm good. All right, man. Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I snapped at you, man. All right, so anyway.
Did you get a weekend off at least?
Yes. Yeah. No, I work half day on Saturday.
No. That's the problem here.
I know. All right.
Seriously, I can tell when you've been working too much.
All right. Well, don't worry. It's all going to end soon. You know, people, it's very comical, you know, with Jimmy going to ABC and people worrying about me and saying, well, Adam's keeping a pretty stiff upper lip.
Nothing for him to do.
Listen. I go home and pray I get in an accident on a surfboard every night so I can sit in a wheelchair and not have to go to work. That's my dream come true.
Oh, I know. Listen, I know.
I would like to have a fundraiser to figure out how I could get into a wheelchair.
Just a fundraiser to keep you living the life you've become accustomed and forget
actually,
about
I don't want a wheelchair. I want wheels on my sofa because I'm going to need a little bit more room to move around. All right. So, anyway, we will talk about all that and tell you guys... how you can donate to this worthy cause and talk to Dexter Noodles and all that stuff after the first break we take.
All right.
Quint?
Yes.
You're 15?
I certainly am.
What's up?
Well, I've been listening for a couple of years, and I've got a couple questions. See,
all right.
First order of business, I love Crank Anchors. It's brilliant.
Thank you. On tonight, 10:30.
I watched it already. Brilliant.
Oh, great.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! I want to go to Hawaii.
All right. Second order of business, Man Show. Wonderful.
Thank you.
I've been listening for a long time. I'm kind of wondering why you guys aren't on TV anymore. It's a crying shame you're not. You should be.
Drew got too old.
Yeah.
Drew put on about 80 pounds. His hair went gray.
He's just not in touch with the young hip crowd anymore.
Well, yeah.
I don't have the same kind of matinee idol good looks at Adam has.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, right.
Okay.
Yeah. On to the next thing.
The biggest question of them all, I've been listening for a couple of years now, like I said, and all your bogus calls you get, it all comes down to the mason jar. Now, I don't understand this. I've never heard the origin.
That's a good point.
That's a good question.
Before we put you on hold, any other questions?
That's about it.
All right. Fantastic, Quint. Well, this is all... well, since we never do good radio.
Right.
And I to be fair to me, I attempt to do good radio about twice a month. Drew tries it about, about half a time a decade, I would say.
Well, I will shoot you down for trying to do good radio.
That's true, too. So. Because this is true. People listen to the show, we're referring to something, and they don't know what the origin of it is. How long ago, Drew?
Probably 5 years ago, wouldn't you say?
5 years ago, a guy called in.
From Tucson.
Right.
Who three or four times got through with these believable calls, had us completely going.
Right.
And at the end, the punchline was his girlfriend, he couldn't do whatever it was and couldn't get her to do whatever he was leading up to because she had an anus the size of a mason jar.
That's right.
And it got to the point where this guy had a very unique voice, and I could identify his voice the moment he came on.
Drew is amazing, yeah. much like one of those dogs that can sniff out weed at the airport. Not good for much else, but amazing gift in that department.
Right.
Because I just hear the sound of my own voice echoing in my head, don't even know what anyone else's voice sounds like. As a matter of fact, when people talk to me, I hear it in my voice, even chicks. It's as if my whole life is being dubbed in by me.
Well, that's gonna
be tough. Looped my whole life back to me.
It's Malkovich, Krolla.
Yeah, but Drew has a very keen sense for this, and to his credit, recognized the guy's voice a couple of times.
So we started busting him.
And then it's unclear at this point whether he then got other people to call in and do it because his voice was recognizable, which seems to make sense. And then eventually, once something catches on, if it's good enough, like anus the size of a mason jar, then it sweeps the nation.
Who could resist?
It's like the Macarena.
So it became sort of, I think, some sort of challenge that everyone... And people were picking up the baton, not even understanding what the history was and what they were doing.
Unacceptable.
That's right. And I would further say this, that statement became the representation of a bogus call on this show.
If they were going to blow their cover or identify themselves as bogus.
That's the way you would do it.
Yeah.
All right. Eric?
Yep.
You're 27?
I am.
What's up?
I was wondering if the fact that I have a zero sperm count could have been caused by my mom smoking pot when she was pregnant with me.
Can you have a zero sperm count, or is it just as good as zero once it gets under a certain count?
They told me it was zero.
You can have sperm. You can be not producing sperm, yeah. What's your testosterone situation like?
They said I had normal levels.
Normal testosterone not producing any sperm. And who said it was due to smoking pot during pregnancy?
No, I know that my mom smoked pot when she was pregnant with me, and I was wondering if that could have been a cause. Because
it's an interesting question. I know of no data that has documented that.
Okay. Well, everybody, I mean, half the country would have a zero sperm count. I mean, half the country whose parents were pregnant, you know, people between the age of 40 and 30 would probably be screwed. I mean, you know.
He's not saying that she just smoked, you know, occasionally, right?
What'd she do?
She was attached to a bong for 9 months.
She said every day she did.
There you go.
Every day. And you're 27.
Yes.
And she wasn't aware of that in 1977 or whatever the hell it was, 79?
74.
Wait a minute. Where am I?
We're 2002.
Oh, yeah. You were born
75.
In 74?
Yes, I was.
Good times. All right. So, to be fair to me, you know, technically, you'd think 75, you know, right. 2002. But anyway, she didn't know that back then? I mean, is she stupid, or was she just hooked on it, or what?
I don't know. I guess she just didn't care.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you okay with her now? I know you want to pin this on her, but this probably isn't it.
Yeah, right.
All right.
She was just more concerned with trying to clear herself, you know, trying to convince me that it wasn't her fault. So,
Well, here's the deal. You should be pissed at your mom no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, this sperm thing, it's funny how you and your mom arguing over sperm, but the sperm thing is not the, that's not the point of this argument. The point is she cared so little about her offspring. Going to be in here in 15 minutes,
that's
by the way.
Radio.
That's great radio.
Drop.
that she smoked pot, you know, while she was pregnant. I think that hurts you, and it should, and you shouldn't forgive her for that.
All right.
But don't try to make a case. You know what I mean? I think people, they try to present a case.
Right. It sort of doesn't matter.
No, it's academic. It's an emotional thing.
Yeah. Well, plus she's an addict, right? And so he probably has all kinds of stuff about that, too.
This is like a guy who's going to cheat with his girlfriend, fiance, or wife's best friend, but he can't get it up. Yeah. So he argues technically that he didn't get her but she's interested in the motive.
Right. Right.
He did too much blow and couldn't get a boner. Attempted to yank himself off, and he still couldn't do it. So his argument is, I didn't have sex with her, but it's just as good.
Right.
And the fact that the sperm may not have been caused by the marijuana doesn't let her off the hook.
Right.
Jeremy?
Yeah.
You're 16?
No, I'm 21.
Okay.
You're 21.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't meth for about 2.5 years, and I've been clean now for going on almost 3 months, and I went from basically, I guess you'd say, from like a 30-minute to 45-minute man in bed, and now down to like maybe 30 seconds to a minute.
So it was taking you longer to have an orgasm when you were doing speed?
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Really?
The speed, you're lucky if you can get an erection when you're doing speed. But that's speed. You're on drugs.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious, you know, is there anything I can do to make that, to make it a little bit longer, because I'm trying to more or less please my wife.
Is she complaining?
Yeah.
She's complaining. Why don't I believe that?
I don't know. I guess he's just doing the complaint math. You're lasting 30 seconds, whether there's an actual complaint
lodged
well, or you're just thinking about complaining.
Is it really 30 seconds now?
Yeah.
Hey, Jeremy?
Yes.
All right. What do you do for a living?
I work at Hynix. They make a computer memory.
Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds specific. What do you do over there? Drive forklift?
No, I push a mop around all day.
Oh, okay. You know, it's ironic. It's one thing when a guy, you know, when a guy says, well, where do you work? And it's like, I work at a meat packing factory.
Yeah,
what do you do? Maintenance, you know, cleanups, that kind of stuff. Hose the place down, hose the mats down.
All right,
you go like, yeah, all right. But it's got to make it that much worse when a guy works at a real top-end biocomputer lab or something, and it's like, what do you do? Scrub the toilet. Now all of a sudden you go, huh? Oh. But you know the funny part is, too, is I know what you do, too, Drew. You go, the guy goes, hey, I work at a biopharmaceutical computer analyzation lab, and you go, huh? Like your brain is going, what?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. No,
well,
wait a minute.
I'm just thinking bogus. So I'm thinking, all right.
I'm thinking, my God, I'm wrong. And then you go, what do you do? I work at the cafeteria. They got a small cafeteria in the back. I clean out the tray that's underneath the soft drink thing mainly. Sometimes I drink it. You know, and you go, now all of a sudden it all comes into focus. You go, yep, okay, good. Still working.
Let's get on with it.
Spidey sense? Perfect. Jeremy.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're off the drugs, by the way.
Are you in a program?
No, I'm not.
Are you depressed?
Sometimes.
Yeah, you sound depressed.
Are you smoking pot regularly?
No, I quit. Basically, I quit drugs to keep my family together.
What do you mean? Are you taking nothing now? No substances?
None. I don't even drink.
Well, good. If you start going down the path again, you will reactivate the whole disease. But I'll tell you what, people that are drug addicts that stop doing drugs tend to get very depressed and very anxious. It's one of the things that the program does is sort of help manage all that or repair some of those feelings. And one of the things that causes premature ejaculation is anxiety. So you might want to look into getting involved in NA or AA and working a program. And some of these anxiety symptoms should settle down, and that might actually improve your performance. I love the way I have to convince people to do healthy things because it'll help their penis.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that nice?
That's the common thread. Actually, mine's not quite that thick, but Jeremy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you got to give her oral sex. That's the key.
All right.
All right, buddy?
Real quick.
Oh, here comes a bogus call. Yeah.
And the man show rock.
Thank you, buddy. Nothing bogus about that.
All right.
Yeah, whatever.
And listen, I know I made fun of this Jeremy earlier. Genius.
He'll be running that company in months.
What an intellect. Yeah. instead of the one mopping the floors, Jeremy is going to be the one handing the mops out. Yeah. Tell you what. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying, Drew?
I hear you.
Catherine?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up?
I separated with my husband last September, and I have a kid, and I just moved down here from Virginia. And I was wondering, how long should I date before dating again? And also, how do I tell guys I don't want to have sex with them?
How long should you date without before dating again?
Yeah, how long should I wait till dating?
Wait till dating.
Wait. So, what's it been?
September.
Since last September.
A year. Oh. That's fun. Start dating.
It's been a year.
Yeah, start dating.
See, that's half your adult life when you're 20.
Yeah. All right, start dating. Now, why the no
start
sex?
Start tonight.
Well, because I have a kid already. I don't want to have another one. Not yet.
Well, they got birth control for that, right?
Well, I had that, and I got pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you have?
Well, we used a condom, but I don't like birth control myself. I'm not a birth control kind of
Why?
It does bad things to me.
What?
I don't know. Because it's kind of like an antidepressant stimulant, and it always, anything like that really messes with my head.
Well, maybe you need to find the right one.
You get depressed, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I do. I get depressed on it.
All right, maybe there's different combinations. There are ways to avoid those kinds of side effects.
Well, I'd rather just not have sex and not...
All right.
Well, you may not have dates then, though, because that's what the guys are going to be interested in.
Yeah, and I don't know, should I tell them, like, right then and there?
No. Listen, women, they map their... They map their social life out like Magellan.
Mm-hmm.
But then, ironically, they don't map anything else out. What? There's the two things that women map out, the social life and weddings. Nothing, everything else, they haven't given it any thought. No thought at all to anything else. I don't know why you have to make this declaration. First off, when you're going to date, when you're not going to date. I guess as a woman, you got guys asking you, hey, if you got a guy who asks you and you're attracted to the guy and he seems like a good guy, then you go. If he doesn't and you're not attracted to him,
here's the deal.
You don't go. Drew, could you imagine? Hold on a second. Could you, man, and I know you're a passionate, passionate, passionate man, but could you imagine if you were in some bizarre period of you've decided not to date,
right?
And some hot chick you were really into came up to you at a party and wanted you to come by or go out and have a drink or something, but you thought, wow, tough, because she's so attractive and so beautiful, but... It's too bad. I'm in a no dating period. I'll have to pass on that.
It's like they have these blood commitments to themselves. These blood bonds.
Yeah.
I made a commitment to myself not to do that anymore. But you know where that letter comes from. Catherine undoubtedly went through some heavy S with men. Dad, husband.
Yeah.
You want to find out what it was?
She's got that heavy voice.
Oh, yeah.
Catherine?
Yeah.
What happened to you, baby?
It was a lot of stuff. It had to do with he committed adultery plenty of times, and he was an alcoholic and drug addict.
And how about your dad?
Where's my bourbon?
My dad, he was just crazy in the head.
Was he an addict also?
No, he's kind of like the Waco thing, but without the gun. That's the kind of thing he's into.
And he's worried about the government?
No, he's more in the Jesus freak. I mean,
is that part?
Yeah, he's real freaky.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking more really.
Was he an addict at one time?
No, he was a pastor at one time, actually.
Why are pastors so effed up?
I don't know. He cheated on my mom, so I don't know.
Well, Catherine, you see the pattern here?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean all men have to be that way. It means you choose men that do that, or you attract men that do that, and you go for men that do that. So understandably, you wouldn't trust yourself. That's a good instinct. But maybe rather than going for guys you're super attracted to, look for guys that sort of look good on paper. Maybe you're not so attracted. In fact, the ones that you're bored by, those are the ones you should spend a little time with.
Yeah. Guys like me.
No, wait a minute.
I thought that call looked familiar. Mary Lee?
Yeah?
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up, Toots?
Hey, you guys, I love you guys so much.
Loving you, baby.
I listen to you guys, like, every night for the next
Shagalicious,
year.
Adam.
Right back at you, kiddo.
Thanks. And the man show's great, and Crank Acres rocks the Casbah.
Thanks. Wow.
And Dr. G, you don't get enough loving, so I gotta say I love you two so much.
Thanks, Marley.
Okay, well, anyways, so I've had a series of eating disorders, and I was, like, wondering what could have caused them. Like, I know that they're bad for me, and I do want to stop them, but it's just that I kind of feel an urge to always have to go back to them.
Well, you may always have that urge, because these are chronic conditions oftentimes. Think more in terms of the eating disorder being a... It's a separate disease, but I think if you want to sort of conceptualize it, think of it as something that needs ongoing treatment for many, many years. It's something you have to sort of deal with all the time. It's a chronic condition, but it's also a symptom. It's a symptom of stuff that you might be able to deal with, again, if you keep working real hard.
So do I have to go to therapy or something?
Yeah, you will not stop without treatment.
It won't?
And it has a very high fatality rate associated with it.
Well, I went to therapy when I was 7.
Yeah.
And my therapist was a real biatch. So
yeah.
I kind of stopped for a little bit because I just hated seeing her. And I was wondering, what could have caused them and stuff.
You got to get back. Someone's had to work with you for a long time before you figure all of that out.
Oh. Okay. And then also I was wondering, if they're chronic, do you stay with the same one, over the years, or...
Therapist?
No. I'm talking about eating disorders. It can manifest into different ones.
It's bulimia / anorexia.
Okay, because I've had, all of them.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, there.
All right, Marley. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Good times, baby.
Right.
Loving you. You know, I was just thinking about, I was spent a little time with my nephews today.
Mm.
And,
no wonder you were irritable when you got here.
No, I love those little buggers.
You didn't do anything to them, did you?
I launched them into the pool about 1,000 times. So I'm the only one in my family that's, you think I'm dead, you ought to check out my family. And barely get out of the car. So the kids jump on me because everyone else is
your
a beanbag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually move. I get them in headlocks, spin them around. I wrestle those kids down. You know,
that's
I'm
good.
Not worried about my back or anything like that. I just launched them into the pool. The thing I forgot about kids is how socially uncomfortable can be with kids because they say what's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it can be a little rough when you're sitting there and they're asking someone why they're so fat. You know, and you're sort of sitting next to them. Part of you wants to sit back and enjoy it. The other part wants you to wants to pipe up. But then you just think, oh, what the... Jesus, this is horrible. So they're obsessed with my grandmother.
Really?
And you know, so it's the first thing. It's like, first thing out of the four-year-old's mouth is, you look older. Now, meanwhile, he sees her 4 days ago.
This is his great-grandmother, mind you.
It is his great-grandmother.
Yeah.
But he literally saw her less than a week before this.
Mm-hmm.
You look a lot older, is what comes out. And I'm like, oh, great. Now, she's got a good sense of humor. But when I'm packing her into the car, and this is what you have to do with old people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's on the difficulty scale, same as, I'd say, transporting a horse
mm-hmm.
somewhere. You got to hook up the rig. You gotta get the thing into the back of the rig. You know, I gotta go to my grandmom's house half hour early. Kind of,
yeah.
I gotta go get her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, get her onto the thing, get her into the walker, get on the wheelchair. You know, make it. And old people are weird with forgetting stuff. You know, not that they do forget stuff, but they spaz about it. Yours, my purse. Do you have my purse? It's like, listen, you got half a Kleenex and a key from a Peugeot that you sold 22 years ago in that goddamn purse. Stop yelling about the purse. But where's the purse? You know, the purse, I got the purse. The purse is here. It's like 4 or 5 purse discussions before you get to the car. Then you get to the car. Where's the purse? Like, don't worry. I burnt it. I sold it. I. You know what? While you were going to the car, I took the purse to Mexico. And I sold it for some weed. The purse is in my hand. Same place where it was 8 feet ago. 20 minutes ago when we're on the stoop over there. Where's the purse? That was a convert. You know, it's weird. It's like you kind of, what it is, here's what happens to me. I know my grandma's listening. She's going to be mad. But I mean this generically when it comes to old people, which is you're done with work. Society is done with you. No one wants anything from you. So you start obsessing about the purse. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have some importance. There's got to be something going on.
Yes.
You have to create something going on, and when nothing's going on, then it becomes about the purse.
Yes, yes.
It's an interesting thing that people do. They won't, you know, just, my thing was just like, screw the purse, I'm cramping on myself, just carry me to the car. That's what I'm going to be like. But so it's like, get in the car, get out of the car. So I load her up in the car, and my little nephews come by, and the four-year-old says, as she gets in the car, doors open. He's saying bye. You know, you got to force the kids always. Say bye. Say bye to grandma.
You're getting used to that part, huh?
Say bye to grandma. You're yelling at the kids. Sister's hitting him in the back of the head. Go, say bye to grandma. He goes over there and he goes, when are you going to die? It's like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Now, I understand
meaning he was trying to prepare himself or he was looking forward to it?
You know, yeah, he was looking forward
but
to it.
But you know what I mean? How did he say it?
He had a bottle of Yoo-Hoo chili for the day she kicked off. No, it was just, he's, you know, kids are curious about everything. Yeah. And if you show up and you're missing a leg, they want to know where your leg is.
Yeah,
and they want to know what happened. And they want to know who's got it now.
Yeah,
and all these crazy, inappropriate questions. Really, the questions you want to ask as an adult. I mean, you meet a guy who's missing a leg. You're thinking, what happened to leg? 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 What happened? And here's what comes out. You see Austin Powers? And then while you're talking about Austin Powers, you think, what happened to your leg? What happened to your leg? What happened to your leg? This is why I'd like to just get a 3-year-old and bring him around with me. Let's find out what happened to that leg. Timmy, come here. The kid could run interference.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. Dexter and Noodles both here from the Offspring. Jesse's here. Jesse, speaking of the leg, is in a wheelchair and is part of a Life Rolls On project. And it's a whole bunch of stuff that Offspring's involved with. And we'll clear it up when we come back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dexter, sorry, is not here. Noodles is here from the Offspring. Jesse Belauer, yeah?
Yep.
Pretty good, is here. He is... quadriplegic, although seems to use his hands pretty well. What plegic would you call him, Drew?
C5, C6, man.
C6.
What's that mean? He sunk his battleship? Or, what does
he
that mean?
Got some shoulder going.
Oh, some shoulder going. Got C6 shoulder. Means... So it's different, but technically not quad. Or is it quad with hand movement, or how do they do it?
Any cervical transection is quad. It's just that he's got some... Some motor activities.
Any cervical transection, yeah.
We lost
Anderson. Yep. You got, is the mic on there, Anderson? Anderson looks confused, which actually usually looks confused.
There's no cable attached to his mic, Anderson.
Yeah. And write that down when Anderson tries to sue us for wrongful termination. That'll be Exhibit A.
I had a crisis, actually.
Yeah, he had a... And you gotta give Anderson some slacks. He had a real tough couple of weeks off.
No, he went and worked at a cancer...
Oh, he did.
Children,
all right.
A cancer camp.
All right. So he's doing the Lord's work.
Is this thing on?
There you are.
Yes, there you go.
All right.
Now, Noodles, why don't you explain why you're here and what the Offspring has to do with Life Rolls On.
Well, a friend of mine named John, his wife, his wife Stacy has Parkinson's disease, and we had been trying to figure out something we could do, maybe donating something that they could auction off on the internet or something to raise money for stem cell research and just raise some funds to get some work done. And they got hooked up with Jesse's organization, as well as They Will Surf Again, and... all these things are raising money to do aggressive stem cell research and figure out about spinal cord injuries and nerve. You know, you can probably explain this more than I can.
How's the climate for stem cell nowadays? I mean, I know, like, back in the day, I know the Republicans aren't so crazy about the stem cell.
I think they're trying to find a way to loophole it from a sort of moralistic standpoint, to let it happen.
Right. I mean,
well, aren't they able to now to raise stem cells outside of, you know, raising fetuses?
It's like they're slowly moving forward with it, step by step.
And also, they've made some strides with cord blood, umbilical cord blood. Mm-hmm. My wife and I just had a baby 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and we donated our cord blood.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's the blood that's inside the cord?
Yeah, inside the umbilical cord, yeah.
And what's that? What do you do with that blood?
The stuff that I've seen is they've been able to use it to help, like, kids with sickle cell anemia and different diseases as they grow older.
Aren't you supposed to save something for your kid?
For yourself.
How's that work?
You're outside of my field. We can talk about this stuff, but that's what I think some of it is. People will save their own as a sort of a what's called a hematopoietic stem cells.
My mom for years had a hanging
from hematopoietic.
The rear. Oh no, she had a hanging from the rear view of her square back.
Your umbilical cord?
Yeah.
That must have been a nice set.
Well, my ancestors used to make soup with that stuff, but
haggis. So anyway, Jesse was. Now, you had your injury how long ago?
About 6 years ago, March 25th, 1996.
And that was surfing?
That was.
This organization is about, or part of it is about, getting people who have had injuries back on their surfboards. Is that part of it?
Basically, yeah. It's just basically bring awareness for spinal cord injuries. And just to let them know that they, you know, life rolls on. They can do whatever they want to do. And my life before I got hurt was surfing, and now I want to go back surfing, and I've been doing that. And it'd be nice if other people got hurt, they can get back out there by watching me or learning things that I do.
But to be fair, you probably got more done after you got in the wheelchair and stopped surfing than you did when you were surfing, right? I mean, because when you surf, you just smoke weed and surf all day. You can't hold down a job. You can't do anything on a computer.
Whenever there's waves, that's true. It's like all else just gets pushed to the side.
Every guy we're construction with wouldn't show. You knew where everyone was because the surf was up right. And no one would show up. Or these guys would go out and surf. We had to work at 7 a.m. They would go out and surf before work, which is like insanity. But I swear, am I right that you've gotten more done in the last few years since your injury?
Most definitely. I mean, I definitely was not going to go to college. I was going to do a professional surf career. But now, after I got hurt, I graduated from San Diego State University, started a clothing company and a foundation and events, golf tournament, concert, and surfing events, and I definitely would not have done any of that.
Yeah, you'd be living at your folks' house, smoking weed.
I'd be living anywhere.
But you still surf car. Now, too. You still do.
Oh, yeah,
too.
And I still surf now.
Now, how do you surf without the use of your legs?
Well, Al Merrick made me a board, and it was about 10 foot long, and we just put these foot straps by the rail where my elbows go, and I just lay down flat on the board and then prop myself up so my elbows don't slide off the board, and I'm not strapped to the board at all.
I just
lie down, and Rob Machado pushes me into waves, and then I just ride by myself and do turns, and someone's behind me if I fall off, but, you know, I can hold my breath a long time and swim.
What if you fall off? How do you swim?
My wetsuit hold makes me float really well, but...
Fart in it? Like an air pocket?
I don't think I've done that yet.
Just to stay
not
warm.
Not that I know
just
of.
Just to keep warm.
Oh, just stay warm.
Let's pee.
That's pee.
Yeah, pee in it, too.
Yeah, all right. All right, this is an amazing story. And look, man, I can barely get off my sofa. If I can't find a remote for something, I'm pissed. You know, I called Pink Dot to send a guy over to bring my remote over to me.
Well, they have some really good surfing video games you might want to look into.
Yeah, even that seems ambitious for me. Don't you burn a lot of calories doing, like, mental calories, Drew? Or what about the thumb work?
Any calories for you is tough, I know, Adam.
All right, let's talk to Ryan, who's 12.
Yeah.
Ryan, what's up?
Hey, I have a question for the guy from the offspring.
Yeah, hey, Ryan, how's
That's
it going?
That's Noodles.
Hey, Noodles. Hey, I just want to know when you guys got some stuff coming out from your new album. When's that coming out?
We're hoping to have some stuff the beginning of... 2003, around February, hopefully, February, March. We're going to go in the studio. We take off for Europe and Japan the middle of August, and when we come back, we're hoping to get in the studio.
Adam, I love Crank Anchors. That's a great show.
Thank
Whatever.
You.
Whatever.
Thank you.
It is. And I hope that thing goes
Miss
well.
Miss Anderson,
with,
Dick.
With what?
I hope everything goes well with your foundation, Jesse.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, bye.
All right. That's one of the good ones.
Cool, good. Yeah.
Let me give that foundation website out, and Jesse or Noodles, you correct me if I screw something up. So www.liferollson, and the rolls is ROLLS .org.
Yeah, liferollson.org. But these events also were helped out by theywillsurfagain.com, and they're helping out with the golf tournament, they're helping out with the concert, and the surf expression session.
The concert is when?
This Wednesday, the 31st.
That's already sold out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, figures, that's at the House of Blues, Offspring. Yeah, probably shouldn't even plug that because if it's sold out, it's sold out. But what can people do if they want to check out the website and they want to do something? Let's say they're out of the city. They're somewhere that doesn't even have a beach.
Yeah, well, basically, if they go to my website, there's a lot of information about all the events that I do, and there's a donation form on the bottom that they can fill out. They could sign the guest book. They can email me, you know, if they have any questions. If they're surfers and they want to get back in the water and they're paralyzed, they can contact me.
I'm not sure I'm clear. It's Life Rolls On, one word, no spaces, .org.
Yeah.
And are you encouraging all people with spinal cord injuries, particularly young people, to sort of create a community to sort of share and support one another?
Yeah.
Or is it really just surfers you want?
No, I'm...
Well, he doesn't want any vals. I mean, if that's what you're saying. Bikers, that's for goddamn sure.
You know, life
locals,
rolls on.
Locals only.
No bikers, I mean, have no spinal cord injuries.
No bikers, no fouls, locals only. Understand?
You know what I'm saying? Because it seems like we have quite a diverse listener group, and you'd probably get a lot of different people if you were talking just to people with spinal injuries of various types. I mean, I imagine you'd want to talk to paraplegic and quadriplegics.
Yeah, I'm not talking about strictly surfers. I'm talking about anyone who's got injured that wants to get back to doing what they love.
And the idea is, you're supporting research on stem cell interventions, is there also a community there where people can get support from one another and sort of share information and that kind of thing?
I think it's basically for myself when people email me and they tell me, you know, that reading my website or my story and seeing that, you know, I've been doing a lot of things. You know, I water ski, jet ski, skydive.
So it's inspiration for
I do a lot,
to share. Okay.
And so they know that it's possible.
Now, you don't just, when you go out and give your talks, you're not just doing it on the coast usually, are you? Have you gone to like Phoenix or
Well,
Des Moines,
that's what I'm doing right now. Like, I do motivational speaking. I'm going to youth groups that and juvenile places that they've never even surfed. You know, these are just troubled kids that I'm talking to and showing that, you know, like, if you get hurt, it's the life's not over. Just there's different things that you can go out there and
You know what you ought to do? Now, this sounds a little disingenuous, but believe me, I know how to work a crowd. When you're working a troubled group of surfers, you say, you know...
A troubled group of surfers.
Hear me out, Drew. Whack my head on a sandy bottom. But when you go to, like, Phoenix, you go, you know, I was motocross riding, I hit a cactus, I wasn't wearing my helmet. Huh. And when you go into the barrio, it's like, I got shot because I was gangbanging. Now I'm paralyzed. Whatever it is, wherever you are,
adjust your story.
That's how you were paralyzed. You see what I'm saying? Because the inner city kids, they don't know from surfing. They're not going to identify with that. But you say, hey, I thought I was cool. I thought I was cool running with a gang. Then I got shot. Now look at me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
I'm just think about it. Don't answer yet.
Right. It's a good idea. We want the surfers to still be able to go out and surf. We want the motocross guys to still be out and
so
be able to go out and reduce.
What about the gangbangers?
Well, do we want the gangbangers to still go out and gangbang?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
Jesse with an automatic weapon would be great.
We want the gangbangers to pick up surfing.
It's
and
all just about positiveness and being happy with your life and loving life and the people around you.
I'm just saying, I've spoken in front of Drew. Tell them I've spoken in front of people before. I know how to handle
a
crap.
Yeah, three or four. But we have to go to break, but it's interesting you brought up the point about other people being so important, because that's something I like to emphasize. We'll get back to that after the break.
All right. Jesse's here, and Noodles both here from, Jesse's from Life Rolls On, and Noodles, of course, from The Offspring. We'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Noodles is here from The Offspring. Yeah, but man, rock stars. Drew, do you remember seeing The Offspring at the acoustic whatever?
I remember the S being scared out of me that the balcony was going to collapse.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep,
I had family on the balcony, and they told me the same thing. They were afraid that it was going to come down.
That was at the Shrine,
was it?
It was
because
not?
Of the midgets. We brought midgets out in leather and whips and chains. It was rad.
Yeah, well, we saw we've probably seen The Offspring a bunch of times, but one time we saw them at the Shrine Auditorium, and, you know, the place was built in the teens or the 20s. Probably not retrofitted. And Offspring was rocking pretty good. And this place was built to have the Nutcracker, not the Offspring.
Well, it wasn't until, you know, I mean, everything was mellow until we brought out Vanilla Ice that night. And then that's when the crowd really started jumping up and down.
There were like 1,500 kids on the upper deck.
Jumping up and down simultaneously.
You know, most kids are morbidly obese these days, so they're all going about 250. And they're jumping up and down to the rocking stylings of the Offspring. Okay. And the whole balcony's shaking, and I'm thinking, this is how I'm going to go. I'm going to get crushed by a bunch of fat teens at an Offspring concert. But as it turns out, it held up. And but, Drew, that's burned. That's burned in your mind, right?
Yes.
Like, for your parents, maybe it's Europe in ruins and yes. Germany burning
for
and
me, it's the, night of
the Blitzkrieg and all that stuff. For you, it's the Offspring concert, yeah. right?
Absolutely.
Jesse's here from Life Rolls On, and the website is www.liferollson.org, and he is a surfer who was got into an accident. Was it 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And became a quadriplegic, but has now sort of worked his way back into the paraplegic realm. And anyway, if you've know anyone who's had this problem, if you have it yourself, check out that website. And let's talk to Eric, who's 19. Eric?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Yeah, I got a question about taking sleeping pills and what's actually the side effects, or is there any problems with taking them?
What kind?
I don't know. I got them from GMC, and there's some kind of pills that you chew and you let, like, evaporate in your mouth or something.
Yeah. Anything that you can buy sucks. I mean, anything that a doctor doesn't give you sucks. Always remember that, son.
Well, actually, I take pain medicine right now, and it really doesn't make me, like, get tired. I don't really feel it.
What are you taking?
I don't know. It's a long name that doesn't sound too powerful. It's not like Percocets or anything, but I take that. And
Wind Patrol.
Pills.
No, he bought it at GNC, the General Nutrition Center.
Yeah.
So it's like some herbal thing.
Yeah, it's good herbal or...
You bought an herbal pain reliever?
No, I got the pain medicine from my doctor because I just broke my back.
You broke your back. Did you have a spinal cord injury?
No, I actually didn't. I just broke my L2 vertebrae.
So you've got a vertebral fracture. Now, what is the pain pill? Go ahead and tell us. Find out what it is.
I do not know the name of the
pain. Vicodin? Codeine?
I'll be lying if I
don't. Lortab?
Oxycontin? Can you find out what it is?
It's not right now. I'm at work, but it's actually a long name. It's like a pill I never even heard of. It's like...
Hydrocodone?
Maybe that's it, yeah.
That's just Vicodin.
Oh, okay.
How much of that are you using?
They just tell me to take 2 pills every 4 hours.
Are you taking that much?
No, because when I take it, it makes me depressed, and I really can't, like, I don't get tired at all.
Well, shouldn't you wash down with booze if it gets you depressed?
That's why I started doing it. Like, 4 o'clock at night, I started taking, like, shots and stuff because I couldn't go to sleep.
Right.
That's where sleeping pills came in.
Eric, you need to call your doctor and get this all straightened out because maybe you're using too much pain medication. Maybe you need better pain management. This is something's not right here. And, yeah, sleeping pills, real sleeping pills, are very dangerous. You can get hooked in 10 days or so pretty easily.
Jeez.
Yeah, now, what do you do with... Hey, Eric, you're 19, becoming like Elvis in his last days over there. What's the danger of the real sleeping pills? As you know, Drew, I enjoy those.
I know you do.
But then I think about it. Well, you take it at night. I mean, when you do people abuse them during the day, or abuse start?
Real abuse will be they start doubling down at night because it starts elevating anxiety levels during the day. And even though you take more anxiety, it gets even more intense. So you take more anxiety, gets more intense. Sleeplessness gets more difficult. Take more. And then they start having panic during the day, and they start taking them during the day, too.
Boy, they take those sleeping pills.
Yeah.
That's the part that amazes me.
They're detoxing during the day, and so they take it to try to suppress the withdrawal. Not to go to sleep, just suppress the withdrawal.
I know you, society, sort of shuns those people. I have a certain respect for those people that, like I tell you, like, yeah, every time before I stepped out on stage to do an hour and a half comedy routine, I'd get loaded out of my mind. I'm like, wow, that's amazing, dude.
Right.
That's off to you. I would take a Quaalude and a fifth of Jack Daniels and go out and play the whole concert. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, how do you do it? Especially, like, you know, these comics always talking about how they would get loaded and go out on stage and perform for an hour and a half, and you're doing materials. You don't even have an instrument on you. How are you pulling that off high as a kite? I smoke half a joint. I can't get my car out of the garage. I'm like from freaked out. You know, all of a sudden I've forgotten how to drive a stick. It's a mess. I think there's a cop in the garage with me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And we've got to go to break again here. This is going quickly at night. But you've always asked a million questions about what it's like to be a quad. How you're. Bowel and bladder and sexual function, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I know you've got a million questions for Jesse. So I know.
But hold on. How can I have a million questions for someone and not think of those? For you to tell me I have a million questions nullifies my questions, doesn't it?
I'll ask them for you.
It's interesting to ponder that, isn't it?
I know what's going on in your head. I see the thought bubble over your mind.
All right. we'll take ourselves a little break. Jesse is here. He will. He is. I don't look at him as a quad though, but it's sort of.
But he's always
some
always
arm
had
movement
a,
there.
You've always had a.
Always had a lot of questions for the quads. Yeah. Yes. So. Yes. And also Noodles here from the Offsprings have a lot of questions about Offspring. Drew will tell me what they are after the break.
Loveline, fast-grown outlaw radio, North America. I'll tell you what, we got a few steps my flamethrower here, boy. I'll tell you about it, I'm about ready to drop dry right now. I tell you what we were talking about, but I'd have to kill you. Oh, Dr. Drew over there is hot, hot, hot. But I'll tell you what, right now, Offspring, Heisenberg, and Ben Shelby, supposed to be rocking the house.
You had a moment there, didn't you?
Yeah, I was doing some radio. Once in a while, we attempt to do radio, but now it's back to us. Drew and I fighting on the air. Me talking about high school.
Boring.
That's right.
Be fair. High school and your grandma.
And my grandma. Right. Phone number here for Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Noodles is here from the Offspring and Jesse Belauer.
Huh? Belauer right there, Jesse Belauer.
Yeah. Life Rolls On is his organization at www.liferollson.org. And he was a surfer and is a surfer, paralyzed 6 years ago, and is basically doing something about it. Offspring has gotten together with that organization, is raising money and awareness.
With theywillsurfagain.com, another organization.
Right. Another organization.
Raising stem cell money for stem cell research.
Right. Right. All right. And
you're going to ask him about his sexual functioning.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what questions to ask.
Drew was going to ask me to ask you some questions. So now, what about sexual function if you're quadriplegic or even paraplegic? What about paraplegic? Is there a difference between...
But
what's the difference?
Not everybody has all the same functions retained. Mm-hmm.
All right. So how's that going? And what about stuff like Viagra and stuff like that? Any difference?
Viagra is a great invention.
Viagra is his friend.
Really? So big difference with the Viagra,
yes.
Right?
Very big difference. I don't get to use it as much as I would like to.
Well,
who does?
I'm trying to get
sponsored by the thing, you know? It's kind of too expensive.
How much is the Viagra,
Drew? I got a bunch of samples in my office. You want to stop by?
Here's my address.
So bring those in. I'll get them to Jesse.
Yeah. Right.
Cool.
Yeah, they'll make it out of your
house. He's going to pop pills.
Yeah, I'll go down to the pier and throw it at him.
The bong, the cocaine tray, and the Viagra in a dish.
Well, what about, oh, my God, I just thought, forget about sex. What about beating off? That's my real mistress. No? None of that? No.
None of that.
Oh,
Adam.
It's crazy. I don't even really feel from the chest down.
Wait, nothing from the chest down. So
from the nipples down.
If I was to give you like a hot foot or something, nothing?
Nothing.
Good trip. Mental note.
Now, do you have orgasms still?
It's kind of more of the mental thing, kind of a visual thing. It's not, I don't.
But you don't really have a climax the way you used
to. No, there's no coming.
But is it like, you know when you're getting laid in your dream? And you have an orgasm, but you don't actually ruin your sheets, but it's still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same sort of vibe?
Oh, it's a great vibe, definitely.
That's not bad.
It's a never-ending vibe.
I mean, I
with Viagra's help.
I don't like to talk about this, but I took care of a little business tonight after.
You talk about masturbation, and I'm shocked.
I know, because my sensibilities usually don't allow me to talk about it. They're very delicate, but. I was in the shower. I couldn't get that stuff off me. It was like some caulking. I got all caught up in my belly hair and stuff, and I was thinking of actually cutting the hairs off.
Oh,
it was a disaster. It's a disaster.
Oh,
I'm saying the fact, you know what I'm talking about, though. I mean, once in a while, you brew up a batch that's like crazy glue or something. It just won't come off of you, and it gets all caught up in the hairs. And I was, you know, I had the shampoo down there. I got the shampoo going. I was scrubbing and everything. Lots of hot water. When I was all rinsed off, there it was.
Adam,
still,
you know,
there.
Women love this talk. They really do.
I'm just saying that not getting that wouldn't be such a bad deal.
I showed some ladies the cinematic triumph that you and I participated in, and they were like, oh, my God. They couldn't deal.
Oh, Drew's talking about a little man show bit. Don't spoil it for the kids.
But people were shocked.
I'm saying if you can have that sort of smokeless cigarette for a penis, I mean, if you got a penis where you get the sensation of an orgasm, yet you don't have to spend hours in the shower with a wire brush, as it turns out, that I actually had to break out to get this stuff out in a mustache comb. It's, you know, more power to you. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to make something good out of.
The other thing that people don't recognize, Jesse, you pointed out about Jesse not feeling anything below the mid-chest, is the skin can break down. If you don't move constantly, your skin will break down.
Why? You don't want a pressure sore.
It just erodes. With the pressure, it prevents blood to that area, and it will just break down. It dissolves.
Is this like when something falls asleep? Is that what it's? Is it telling you to move around? Is that what that is?
No, it will hurt if you'll have pain. That's why you move all night during your sleep. You can't lie in a position.
I have
more
to turn every couple hours. You know, I don't want to get any pressure sores because then you'll have to be lying on your stomach sometimes months. You never know, and you won't be able to do anything.
And those sores, and they need surgery. You can. I've had people erode from their buttock into the into the rectum. It can roll right into the,
Tell you, it would wreck a guy to have that.
Now, you've got a great guy that accompanies you around, helps you out and stuff.
Yeah, I have a great guy. You know, this guy's been with me. This guy's Sonny. He's been an amazing person, helping me out for the last, 4 years, 24 hours, 7 days a week, doing everything that I can. It's just, it's shocking that before I didn't even know, one, two stairs is, an impossible thing for me to get up without any help. You know, I see people just running up, not even thinking about different things, and I got to think about little cracks on the street. It's an amazing thing.
And he's with you all the time, helps you.
All the time.
All right. Drew was, I just gave my baby Ruth bar, I think, right?
So, yeah. Sonny.
All right. Good guy, that Sonny. Good people.
Oh, yeah. Good brother.
Sonny, I think I got a number two coming up, so I'm going to need a little help getting off the pot. I mean, not that I couldn't do it myself, but hey, come on, let's be. That's what you do.
I gave you
the baby Ruth bar.
Yeah. That's kind of a lot.
Give the baby. You want another one? You help me off the toilet after the next break.
Oh, we got to think about that for you, Adam.
Oh, my God.
That'd be great. Well, you know how it is. You got
a wire brush.
Well, where do you put your hands? You plant them onto the seat or you grab the towel bar? That's not strong. I'd like a guy stand in front of me, give me a little help up.
Sonny will be right there in flying colors.
And wiping your ass for you.
Yeah, I mean, why should I do everything? I'm a busy man. Anthony?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, Adam and Drew, you guys rock.
Great.
And Offspring's my favorite band. And I was just wondering, how did you guys get started?
Oh, we just... actually, Dexter and Greg and a couple of guys started the band first, and... I think Dexter was just going to play guitar, but the guy who was singing couldn't sing, and I ended up joining another band with Dexter and the drummer at the time. But really what happened is they wanted to get into a social distortion show at Irvine, at UC Irvine, and I think the cops broke it up and shut it down, and the guys went home and were all ticked off and said, hey, we should just start our own band and forget going to see other bands play when we always get beat up by cops or kicked out because we're too young or whatever.
And that was 1980.
That was 84, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I played in another band with Dexter and a couple of different guys, and James, who was our drummer at the time, and then in 85 I joined what is now The Offspring.
Jesus Christ. Coming up on 20 years.
Hey, it's amazing.
You know, it's amazing, too. It just popped in my head, but I see all these behind the musics and stuff, that these bands, the Mamas and the Papas or something, they were, around for 2.5 years. You know, a lot of these, Beatles were, 7 years or something. I mean, a lot of these
that
bands.
Is weird. Yeah, huh? That is weird.
It's weird that a lot of these bands, even, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix, I mean, the Doors, the list goes on and on, where these bands are, 3 years, 5 years. You know, we talked a lot of bands that are like...
Milli Vanilli, how long was that? This,
17 short years.
But yet now is sort of seen as a time when there's a more rapid turnover.
Yeah. Right.
It's almost like the ones that make it stay for a long time.
Yeah.
And the minute... The
well,
ones
and
that
you're lucky if you get to be, have the longevity of a band like U2 or, R.E.M. or the Foo Fighters are doing
well, you
great
guys
from
too,
Nirvana.
I mean,
so. Yeah, we've done all right, man. No complaints.
Bad Religion.
Anthony?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anthony, thanks, buddy.
I was wondering if I could ask another question.
No.
Sure.
No. No.
Neil says
what's
yes.
We're playing good cop, bad cop over here.
Go ahead.
What was your inspiration for the song Change the World?
Oh, glad we had a man's time.
Running into people that gave a lot of lip service to doing things to make the world a better place, but didn't really do anything. Just guys who like to sit around and argue, but then really, you know, if it came in between them and enjoyment of their life, they didn't do anything about it. Everyone knows someone like that.
Yeah. Hey, Anthony?
Yeah?
All right?
All right.
Good times, everybody.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Anthony.
Let's talk to Christine. Christine?
Hello?
You're 16?
Yeah.
You there? What's up?
Nothing. What's up, Jesse? It's Christina.
Yo, what up?
I told you I was going to call.
Yeah.
So, how's it going?
Chilling like a villain here.
All right.
You tell us, how's it going, Christine?
All right. What's up, guys?
We doing all right on the air here?
Yeah. I listen to you guys all the time. You guys are pretty cool.
Hold on a second.
She's one of the volunteers.
She works on the website?
Yeah. There you are.
Christine?
Yeah.
That's better.
Was I losing you there for a
second? What do you do on the website, Christine?
I volunteer at his events. I volunteered at the Abilities Expo, and I'm volunteering at the golf tournament tomorrow for him.
And you just like on the ninth green handing out Miller Lights, or what are you doing?
I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
You guys haven't mentioned the golf tournament yet, I don't think.
What about the golf tournament?
Well, basically, this is going to be the fourth annual Life Rolls On golf tournament. And they will surf again. Basically, it's at the Malibu Country Club. It's all helped awareness and for spinal cord research. And it's going to be tomorrow.
Who are some of the people golfing in the thing?
Well, we got pro surfers, Rob Machado, Kelly Slater. We got Jose Canseco. We got some other... We actually got these playmates that were... We have a live auction. And we're auctioning off three playmate dates. With them.
So are they going to be like intense at different holes? Remember like that one golf course that just got busted?
Where
right. Had, these yeah. tents the, all around the golf course.
A little cat house to spring up. Yeah, what the playmates this? Will be manning those tents. They just busted some golf course out here for having prostitutes like hanging out.
In tents on the greens. So it was like you could play 18 holes and
right.
had a whole different meaning.
Oh
I
my
think.
God.
Yeah, get a little, have a little happy ending. You could still make par, you know what I mean? Yeah. Hey, Christine?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, baby.
No problem.
Good times, huh?
Bye.
All right. Let's see here. Let's talk to Chris, who's 16. Chris?
Yeah.
What's going on?
All right.
16.
When I was like 8 years old,
not a virgin.
My stepmom abused me a lot and called me worthless and all that bullshit. And
oh, boy.
Mm. Jesus. I had to put him on hold because he used the S word, but, oh, man. It's amazing. It always scares me when you hear 16-year-old guys are, like, angry and sort of... I was going to say you're picturing these guys 5 years down the road, but let's call it 5 weeks.
Yeah, picture them now.
Let's say Monday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, this is why I really hate these abusive parents is because they create people that go out and abuse you, essentially. Drew, you got something there?
No. Kelly Slater and Rob Machado will be at this event.
Drew has never heard of anybody, so don't hand him
and
something.
Kelly Slater. You know, some past chair people of the event were Angie Everhart,
Goldie Hawn,
Kurt Russell. And it's just been a great event, you know, and it's been selling out every year. And we've been getting some great auction items, and we're having an auction. You can come out tomorrow around 4 p.m. to the Malibu Country Club. There's a silent auction, live auction, a lot of great things.
True. I heard in, I think it was 2000 or 2001, you actually auctioned off your sense of humor over there. Who bought that? Who bought that sense of humor?
It's been missing for a long time. I didn't realize you found it and were able to auction
your
it.
Wife, your wife found it in the attic, I think, of the house and brought it on.
I looked there a bunch of times. So.
Yeah, she told me not to tell you, but I thought it was high time you found out what happened to your sense of humor. Yeah.
We're actually raffling off a trip to Peru, and it was donated by Quicksilver, and we're going to, you know, you can log on to my website and fill out some raffle tickets and buy some raffle tickets to win a trip down to Peru.
Speaking of Peru, I know it's a muggy tropical climate over there. Is it not?
I don't think of it that
Peru.
Way.
I think of Peru as hot.
I think of Peru where people go to go skiing in the summertime up here.
Yeah, but down, but don't they go to look at like temples and things like that in Peru?
Yeah, Machu Picchu and stuff.
That's in Peru?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. What's about what's going on? Okay, Drew, would you shut up, you idiot? Please. Peru, what do you think of Greenland?
No. There is actually some cold water breaks, though, right, in Peru?
Don't talk to Drew anymore. You try to make a point. Someone find out the average temperature of Peru. I can yell at Drew.
Average temperature.
Brian?
Yeah.
You're 29. What's the average temperature of Peru, and where is it located? On what parallel? How close to the equator is it?
It's south of the equator. It's probably about 80 degrees all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't it border on Ecuador, though? Doesn't Peru and Ecuador share a border?
I have no idea.
If they do, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, Drew. A lot of trouble with arguing with me.
Because then Chile's further south.
Chile's way down.
Right south of, you know.
Chile's all the way down, right?
Yeah.
All right, so someone go to IHOP and get a placemat, and let's find out where this goddamn Peru is.
What's going on, Brian?
All right, but here's the point. I'm sweating through the back of my shirt again here. Could it get any muggier in here?
I see.
Anderson, is there any air that you can turn on that's in this room? Or did I just have to sit here and sweat through the back of my shirt every goddamn night?
It's frozen, Adam.
Yeah, it's frozen. That's right.
I heard you ranting and raving about that last week.
Frozen air. Anderson, does the air conditioning work in this place or not? Or how does it work?
What do you think? I'm happy. I'm sweating, too.
All right. Is it turned on? Is it turned up?
I got it turned down to 71, and it's 78 degrees in here.
Okay. I'm going to put a thermometer in here. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, this question's for Drew. I've got an addiction problem to Vicodin, and I want to stop taking it, but every time I try to stop taking it, I end up taking it again because I go through really bad withdrawals.
Right. You need to go to a hospital that's used to dealing with those withdrawals and get you through that. And you need to be treated for your Vicodin addiction, because even once you get through the withdrawal, I guarantee you, you will use again. You'll have headaches and back pain, and you'll feel like really miserable depression. You feel like you lost someone. You know, like somebody died. That's the feeling you walk around with. And you'll know that you can have a few minutes of relief if you just took one of those Vicodin, and you will take one, and you'll take a lot more.
That requires
treatment, Brian. You're living in Northridge. There's treatment all over the place. You know, just get yourself into some treatment.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've stopped taking it before. You know, there's been long periods of time.
As with any drug, people know that they can control it early on, but it gets more and more difficult to control, and you always go back without treatment.
Is there any way to do something without going into a hospital?
People can try, and somebody might be able to get you successfully off. I have never successfully detoxed Vicodin outside a hospital.
Well, but that's you, Drew. Someone who's skilled could probably pull
it
off.
That's possibly true.
Hey, Brian?
Yeah.
I'm going to go give myself a swirly by putting my head in the toilet to try to cool my brow, okay? I'm going to use Jesse's helper to get my head out of the toilet after I'm done, all right?
All right, Brian,
that's enough out of you.
Brian, hold on. I'll talk to you.
I'm overheating. We got to take a break.
All right.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Noodles is here from The Offspring. Jesse Billauer, I bobbled just a little bit, is here. He's from Life Rolls On. He is sort of quadriplegic, but quadriplegic light. This kid has got some, he's more mobile than most of us who aren't confined to a wheelchair. And he's got a pretty cool wheelchair.
Yeah, straight, and you know, chromed out with red TriStar rims. Got a rolling style with a smooth profile,
right? Helps him on and off the toilet, Adam. Helps him on and off the toilet, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're jealous, I know.
Yeah.
I got a guy that does it all. What I can't do, he does. If I need to walk upstairs, he walks upstairs for me.
Yeah.
And carries me at the same time.
That's what I need.
Adam and I are like, yeah.
I need a Sherpa to get me up
where
my stairs.
Where in the Yellow Pages do you find those guys?
Can I get a glass of water, Sonny? Oh, yeah, he's right there.
I really could use that. Drew, would you like to be that for me?
No.
Okay. All right.
He's a good cook, too.
www.liferollson.com. .org
as well as
theywillsurfagain.com
exactly.
Right. And these are, if you have been listening to the show and anything has struck you, you can go onto these websites and get plenty of information about these two organizations. All right. Jesse had one more thing to
And this coming up weekend, August 1st through the 4th, you can come down to Huntington Beach to the U.S. Open. Come check out the Life Rolls On booth at right there at the south side of the Huntington Beach Pier. And I will be surfing out on August 4th at about 12 noon at my annual expression session brought to you by Life Rolls On, and they will surf again. And I'll be surfing right out there with about 50,000 people, Rob Machado, Kelly Slater, all the top pro surfers in the world. It's going to be a great event, and I'm just looking forward to that.
And there's going
to
be big waves. If you've ever, I mean, it's going to be impressive watching Jesse surf. It's really going to be a cool thing.
I didn't know the waves are going to be big.
There was a hurricane off of Mexico.
Yeah, we've had good swell for the last week.
Like three hurricanes down there. Yeah. So.
I'll tell you, it's one thing surfers, you know, they drop out of junior college. They live at home their whole life, but they become like meteorologists. Yeah. And they seem to learn the metric system from the weed distribution, too. Those are the two things you got to tip your hat to the surfers on those. They know the metric system, and they know the tides, the swell, the storms are on top of everything.
That's just all the Santa Cruz surfers, I think.
We got the five-day forecast now. William?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I was calling to see if height or weight has anything to do with penis size, because I'm packing a pretty small heat.
Yeah, and are you a tall guy or a small guy?
I'm 5'4", 210.
Ooh.
It's got some weight on you. That is one of the things that can theoretically have some influence on penis size. A lot of adipose tissue around will create estrogens.
What's adipose tissue?
Fat. Fat produces estrogen, and estrogen can possibly affect sort of penis size and performance.
Well, also,
plus, it's just going to make it look smaller, you know, against all that.
There is the turtle factor.
Is there any way to, like, increase height or penis size?
Lose the weight.
Or penis size?
The height has nothing to do with the penis size. Nothing whatsoever.
But is there any way that I could increase that? Because
lose the weight.
But the height?
William, listen. How do you think you're going to increase your height? We'll put you on the rack. We'll remove part of your shin and graft something onto it or something.
Disco shoes. The way to go. And they're making a comeback. They're going to be back, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, like one of those boots Sly Stallone wore in the late 80s. They had a little heel on them. They zip up on the side. No one knows you're wearing boots, but they give you an extra couple inches.
And that has nothing to do with penis size. You just take care of yourself physically more. Exercise, watch your diet.
Yeah,
get going.
5'4", 210 is a pretty husky cat, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's where the focus has to be.
Well, I wasn't that heavy, but I started smoking a lot of pot, and that got me really heavy.
All right, well, if you're marijuana addicted, you're going to have to deal with that, too.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to stop by itself.
All right, so, William, the focus is not on the penis, not on the height, but on weight
the tongue,
loss.
Right? Isn't that
on the tongue.
You know, the wife tells me.
Absolutely.
All right. Jesse's
there. I was going to actually say that. I didn't know if I wanted to step in and, you know, be a part of that.
Yeah, Jesse's tongue still works fine.
Compensate, my brother. Just use something different.
I can
your
imagine.
Hands, your mouth, just, you know, try new things.
How small is this wiener, though?
Yeah, that's, well, I don't know if he...
Strap
know.
On.
William?
Yeah?
How small is the penis?
I barely clear 4 inches. How dare you?
Anderson just asked that question because he wanted to play that sound effect, that's all. All right, William.
Tongue exercises is the way to go.
And listen, if you got a gut and some thigh on you, isn't it like sort of building up 3 mounds around your penis? I mean, it's like planting a flag and then putting sand dunes around it. You can't see it anymore.
I mean, there's something to that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a. I think Noodles was alluding to this, which is it's sort of relative. It's like saying, is this rim big or is this car rim small? It's like, well, what car is it on? And I'll tell you if it's big or small. If it's on a SUV, maybe it's small. But if it's on a Hyundai, maybe it's big. You know, I mean, there's got to be an element of that. All right, because whenever you see a fat guy at the gym, you never see a fat guy with a big penis. You never do you?
I'm not really looking.
I have to say, I've been a study on that one. But
I do.
I'm glad somebody has.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
Let's talk to Michelle, who's 15.
Hey.
Michelle?
Yeah?
What's up?
Well, first I want to say hi to Noodles.
Hi, Michelle. How you doing?
I'm good. You guys are like my favorite band.
Thank you. Thanks. Good. I'm glad.
And I'm looking forward to your CD coming out next year.
Cool. Thank you. Me too.
And Adam, you are awesome.
Yeah.
Hi, Michelle. What can we do for you tonight? What's up?
I'm sorry. Well, I was looking into birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if you, like, smoked a lot of cigarettes every day and some weed, if that would, like, be bad.
The cigarette smoking and the birth control pill really don't go well together. They're not so much an issue at your age, but as you get in your late 20s, it really can be. So, and, you know, how about using that as motivation for stopping the cigarettes, too? I mean, I think you understand how awful that is for you.
Yeah, I know.
As far as the pot goes, I don't know of any evidence that occasional pot is going to do anything to the birth control pill, but just about anything can affect its effectiveness. So you got to worry about that a little bit.
You on the pill now?
No, I'm looking into it.
Oh, okay.
All right. I think it'd be okay to get on it, maybe use that as motivation to stop the cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
And if you can't stop the cigarettes, you got to really question whether or not it's a safe thing to do for you.
You got a boyfriend?
Yeah.
How old is he?
16.
Let's put it this way. Pregnancy would be much more dangerous to you than the birth control pill at this age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So do something.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Good times, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Depot shot, I think, for you.
It's weird when you're like a 15-year-old chick and you're having sex, your whole life becomes like a covert operation. I'm looking into. You always like looking over his shoulder. Said yeah. Mom.
Man from Uncle.
Your whole life is like, my mom's gonna be out. She'll be back at 5. But if we can get out of school in the 5th period, then we can get. The whole life just becomes like Mission Impossible. It's like one big covert operation after the next. Getting the birth control, scoring with the boyfriend, what bed you're going to do it in.
I was well into my mid-20s before I started having sex. So
Really?
Yeah.
No way. Good-looking guy like you?
I'm still a virgin.
I find that impossible. Impossible to believe. And a surfer, a musician, no way. Brian?
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes, I'm calling in reference simply to you and versus Drew's debate about the temperature of the water off the coast of Peru.
I don't think that's what we were fighting about, was it?
I was talking about the ambient temperature.
The air temperature.
The air temperature of Peru. But go ahead, anyway,
okay,
Brian.
I apologize.
What do you know about Peru?
Basically, Peru is in the southern hemisphere, so the South Pacific Gyre in the southern hemisphere is rotating counterclockwise, bringing up cold water from Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the average water temperature is between 50 and 66.2 degrees.
It's cold.
Jesus Christ.
So that would help keep the climate also cool.
Exactly, because what happens is that obviously water having a high specific heat tends to obviously reflect what's going on in the air.
But where's Peru in
proportion to the equator in Ecuador?
Yeah, the equator.
Yeah, the equator then, it ranges from between about 3 to maybe 17 degrees south of the equator.
Mm. How far are we? That's like Mexico,
we're
right?
A little more than that, right?
Yeah. Well, we're north of the equator.
Yeah, I understand.
30 degrees north latitude.
We're how many?
30.
So it's about Mexico. It's about where Mexico below as Mexico is above.
To me, that sounds like a perfect...
North of the equator.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. We're equating how far above as opposed to how far below. Peru is about the same distance below as Mexico is above.
actually, Mexico is a little bit further above than Peru. Yeah.
All right. Still, does that answer any questions? Doesn't that mean it's a warm climate?
Sounds like a good location for winning a trip. Sounds like a nice place to be,
That's right. Where would one win a trip to Peru?
Go to www.liferollson.org and fill out some raffle tickets. You might win a trip down there.
Well, let me give you a heads up. Bring the parka and mucklucks, right, Drew?
And some wetsuits and booties.
It's going to be freezing over there. I mean, you get off the plane, your saliva freezes as you step off the plane, Drew. Peru? Absolutely. Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're OU with the S word.
Huh?
What's up?
All right, when I was 8, my stepmom abused me and all that. Yeah, I know I shouldn't cuss, dude.
That's right.
Excuse my language.
All right.
Then I got, like, really depressed while she was doing it. Started thinking about suicide. Actually, tried to kill myself three times.
Was she physically abusing you?
Physically and mentally.
Mentally abusing you.
She would punch me. She'd smack me with stuff. She threw chairs at me, all that.
Wow.
And now I'm 16. All of it's coming back. I'm feeling depressed again, and I don't know if I am depressed, you know, but...
Well,
I was just wondering if it could, like, be coming back from that.
Living through that kind of trauma can affect you for a long time, and depression is one of the symptoms.
I mean, I get that. I was just wondering if it could be, like, caused from something else that's happened to me lately, or...
Well, anything that happens to you lately can predispose you or sort of trigger the depression that you are already at risk to because of that serious trauma you've been through.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is serious stuff. You really should get some help with this. It very much affects the biology of your brain. It permanently etches stuff into your head that you, if you want to get help with, yeah, and get away from.
Like a chair, right? You can actually leave your head.
Chair leg.
You know, yeah, if you don't duck. Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
He lives with me. I live with my dad, I mean.
Oh, okay.
And she's gone now?
Yeah, my stepmom's gone.
All right. And what's your dad have to say about this?
My dad didn't believe me at first. Mm. He said I was making stuff up and just trying to get her in trouble. And, well, my school made me go see, like, the school counselor.
Yeah.
And I told her about it, and she called my dad up at work and told him about what I was saying. Mm-hmm. And I got yelled at even more by her, and it just got more severe, so.
Oh, my God.
So, what, does he believe you or not?
Huh?
How does he feel about it now?
I don't know what the end of the story was. Does he believe you?
At this point.
He never believed me until he actually saw it for himself.
So he actually witnessed it.
Yeah, he witnessed, she took a metal spoon out of boiling water off a pot on the stove and smacked me across the face with it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Well, some Italians use that to see if the spaghetti's ready.
Huh?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry, my friends are sitting here yelling.
No, that's all right, buddy. Listen, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt anybody else.
Get some help.
All right.
Those are going to be the impulses you're going to have, is to hurt yourself and other people. Again, they've done lots of studies now where they've looked at actually the brain structure of people that have been badly physically abused. And there are certain regions that are responsible for sort of containing behavior and affect. They're actually shrunken way down, well below the size of normal. Makes sense. These kinds of traumas affect our brain function and structure.
All right. Good times. Let's talk to Brian.
It's Bryn.
Bryn? What?
Bryn.
Bryn, yeah.
Oh, Bryn.
Yeah.
All right, Bryn.
Yep.
Bryn the
girl.
The chick.
Yeah.
All right, what's happening there, Bryn?
Nothing.
All right, you're 16. What's going on?
Well, I'm having some problems with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not, it's more mental abuse than physical, if anything.
Yeah.
And it's getting to a point where it's really depressing and
yeah, what's she doing?
Well, she gets mad really easily, and I've talked to her about anger management, and she just gets more mad at me. And
yeah. And, well, how about you don't talk to her?
What?
Can you stay out of her way?
Avoid her?
Well, I try to talk to her, and then
No. Well, how about avoiding her?
What?
Avoiding her.
Have I tried that?
How about you go ahead and do
Bryn, it? Bryn, I'm going to come over there and start abusing you verbally. Would you goddamn listen to what we're saying, please?
No.
Okay. Good. Have fun. I see why mom is so abusive.
But as usual, Adam, they pull out the victimizer in you. They're good victims now, see?
What do you mean the victimizer?
You start victimizing them. She's a good victim, and she just evokes it in you.
Screwballs give me a hard time. That's all that they're asking for. Right. You want some? You want some four eyes? Hey. I mean,
we'll stick together.
Yeah, all right. Doctor Four Eyes.
As opposed to ex-janitor Four Eyes.
Ex-janitor Four Eyes. Yeah, I know. I know, that's what it is. Here's what happens, and here's what Drew's talking about. And this happens with men and women. It seems a little more with the women we speak to.
For you. It gets you going quicker.
Yeah, but...
For me, actually, the men...
No, I get angry at the guys,
you
too.
You do, but I notice the women trigger you quicker and the guys trigger me quicker. Because you always kind of notice that I'm getting upset. Settle down, you know.
Yeah.
Does that mean he has mommy issues and you have daddy issues?
Probably.
Actually, to be fair, I have issues with Drew's dad, too. So. We've been together long enough.
Or it's maybe
stories.
That I tolerate more from women and just, you know, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah, Drew's a real coos kisser. That's a good term, right? I'm going to write that one down. But... Yeah, the poor people, their parents are sort of abusive, and they get angry. They get really angry, and when they talk to people, they somehow elicit that response from the people. You end up getting angry at them immediately. And it's sort of subtle. It's like you have to repeat everything three times, then they say the opposite, and the next thing you know, you're yelling at them. I know, like, now I feel bad. Let's try Bryn. First thing they do, by the way... And this is ironic, but it always gets me mad, is they have names that are a little bit off, and they correct you on it. That's the number one thing. Do they rename themselves something? Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. They always they always correct you on something at the opening.
Right out of the chute. Angry people do this.
Instead of you say, okay, Andrea, and no, it's Andrea. No, it's,
right. That's exactly right.
Brian has a question about mom controlling her anger. No, I have a question about her, you know, whatever.
And then they repeat it
and
back
then they repeat
to
the question.
Yes, they immediately get you angry. Right. Brian.
Yes?
I'm going to try again with you.
Okay.
All right. So, how about avoiding your mother?
Avoiding her?
No, hey.
I try, but it seems that whatever I do, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah, but if you're not around her, you just sort of find activities away from the home, get focused on getting out of there, going to college, and being away from her.
Yeah, that's basically what I want to do. I want to get out of here as soon as possible.
That is a smart move, because you're not really going to change her, it sounds like. And it sounds like you're engaged in a dance with her that is pretty... pretty dysfunctional. It's not gonna. You're not gonna have any winning.
My sister tried, and that didn't work. Either.
And you might, you know, get yourself some therapy or some sort of group support, so you have somewhere you can turn with your feelings about her. Do you have? Is your dad around?
No, he's not.
Do you? So you go to high school, right?
Uh huh.
And are you a decent student?
What?
Are you a decent student?
Yes, I am. I'm a good student.
All right. And are you involved with things at school?
Yeah, I'm involved with tons of things.
Keep that going.
Yeah.
Do not expect for good things from your mom. You need to find support elsewhere.
Well, I know it sounds... it's great advice. It sounds like, I don't know, passing the buck or not being responsible. But I didn't get along with my parents too great when I was in high school. I just avoided them, really. I mean, they weren't abusive alcoholics or anything. I just didn't have that much to say to them. So, you know, I went to school all day. And then when I was done with school, I went to football practice. I got home at 6:30 at night. And I took my dinner and went and ate it, and I went in my room and watched TV and beat off. Not in that order.
And then beat off again.
Then I'd get up at 7 and go to school again. I would never saw him.
And Jesse had a point about how he learned from his spinal cord injury how important relationships are. Could you speak to this?
What?
It's all about love now. You just, you know, it's more about...
But mom's gone, though. Mom is a pain in the ass. Are there other relationships you learn to rely on? Are there other ways to develop intimacy and contact and...
Just
friends.
Talking to people, friends, going, you know, just music to me is an outlet to just find out, like, myself and be alone and just see where I am. And then having girls around, you know, and going out and finding love.
Yeah, but most of these guys, especially the guys we're talking about, couldn't get laid with, you know, like a 10 gallons of ether and like a 60-pound sack of Viagra and roofies and duct tape and handcuffs. They
wouldn't do it.
Still couldn't get laid. Yeah. I mean, when you're older, it's great. But in high school, just get involved with your high school. Get involved with sports or the band or the drill team or whatever it is. And just never come home. And then when you come home, you just sort of say hi to your parents. You don't get in their face. You don't cause them any trouble. You go do your homework and you go to bed and you start the next day. And before you know it, you're offered some liberal college. And you come back like your sophomore year and announce you're gay. And that sends Dad through the roof. And it's all evened up.
Or you can, like Adam's, live at home, and they'll have you, you know...
Eventually, your stepmom will kick you out of the garage.
Put you out in the garage, and you'll be crapping in a popcorn tin like Adam did.
Decorative popcorn tin.
Everyone has something they love, you know? You just got to find that.
Adam, it was that popcorn tin.
Yeah. That was a real good time.
And getting help in the bathroom, right?
Right. I didn't have a bathroom, actually.
No, it was a popcorn tin.
But I
wanted to feed in a popcorn tin. It was no bathroom in the
And now he wants to, you know, my helper to come help him, right?
Well, off the popcorn tin.
It's a compensation for the misery.
Does he get popcorn before, or what?
Well.
Free popcorn?
I'll tell you that.
I would stay away from the popcorn.
Yeah, stay away from the popcorn,
Just does not sound appetizing anymore.
And I did not go number one into the popcorn.
No, you did it outside.
I had the whole yard for that.
Chocolate popcorn.
All right, we'll take a little break.
Sounds yummy.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Drew. Noodles just called me the hardest working man in show business. Hard to argue with Noodles, you know? He's a genius, this kid. His glasses work on him. But Noodles, I was noticing those glasses. Those are very thick glasses. I mean, those are serious glasses.
They are, yeah.
What is your
I've
vision?
I've been called the blindest man in show business today.
Yeah, what are those?
I don't know. I'm just bad. I have just really bad eyesight. I asked the doctor one time, you know, am I farsighted or nearsighted? He says, well...
technically you're farsighted, but really neither. So,
yeah. I had that laser eye surgery. It worked.
You did?
Yeah.
You were nearsighted?
Yeah, I couldn't. But, I mean, I couldn't see far.
Now, would that work for Noodles? That laser stuff?
It might be too far for him. Too far gone.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's true. Well, because you know, when I was looking into contact lenses too, they make them. You know, they make them up to like +7, +8 now, and I'm like, what am I? They go, +9. Man, you're +10+.
Oh, jeez, Christ.
So.
All right. Yeah, the glasses work for you, though.
Yeah.
Now, but if you when you wake up in the morning and they're not on your head, what do you see?
That's the first thing I do is pick my glasses up and put them on before I'm even awake. And the last thing I do right before my head hits the pillow is
I do that too, though. I just imagine, and mine's not that bad.
There's times when we're on tour on the bus or whatever, and I'm hammered going to bed, you know, after whatever we do a show, and
that
it's a good
happens.
Show. We go out and get hammered. Yeah, it does more often than it needs to happen. But I'll wake up and my glasses are just gone somewhere, you know, and that's the worst thing. And I can't find them, so I got to get somebody like Sonny to help me find my glasses.
What would you see? Yeah. I mean, could you not? I mean, what would you see?
Let's see. I can't see their faces at all.
Really?
Yeah, I can't see their faces. I can't make out expressions.
Drew just took the glasses off.
Exactly. I can't make out expressions.
I can see eyes, nose, but not well.
Wow.
Sort of see.
And I can't read anything on any of the papers here. Yeah.
Wow. So, good times. Well, I'll tell you, they work, though. They're cool on you. So, John?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yep.
What's up?
Not a lot.
You're paraplegic?
Yes, that's correct.
What happened?
I have schizophrenia. I hallucinate very badly. I wasn't diagnosed. I thought I'd wake up the next morning and go to a party and jumped off a bridge, tried to kill myself one night.
Wow. And what'd you land on?
Concrete.
Oh, bad times. Bad times. And how high was the bridge?
Yeah, 20, 30 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
That was February 14th this year.
Oh, so it's
Valentine's Day.
Fairly recent.
And my wedding anniversary, too.
Yeah.
Where did that take place? Where was that?
In Olympia, Washington.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And now how are you making the adjustment?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just in a nursing home trying to get a pressure sore healed up.
Mm.
And after I get that done, I'm moving out into a friend of mine's house who's going to help take care of me. And I don't know. I just wanted to talk about this life rolls on thing, see if there's any new stuff with the spinal cord cell research, and wondering if that Viagra stuff actually works because.
Are you a complete or incomplete?
Complete, I think.
You think?
What's the difference between complete and incomplete?
It has some movement below the injury or not? Can you move your legs at all?
I have a movement in my legs. I can't stand on them or lift them up or anything. But I can feel the muscles moving.
You have some wacky sensations down there, too?
Yeah.
You feel?
A little bit of sensation, and sometimes no, and sometimes yes. But, like, I'm doing pretty good right now. I can feel myself touching my leg, and I can move it a little bit.
How's the schizophrenia doing?
I take medicine for it. I take Geodon, and I don't hallucinate or have those thoughts anymore, so I'm doing pretty good with that.
Mm. Oh, good.
Yeah, sure, they know for sure. They're suspecting schizophrenia, or they know for sure it is.
I don't know. We haven't really done any like tests or anything.
You're not a drug addict. You weren't doing much drugs.
No, not a drug addict. Not anything. Just probably been schizophrenic my whole life, and just never knew that I was different.
Okay.
Well, the schizophrenia sets in for males too. It
around
seems
20.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
All right.
I'd be having a conversation with you and like. Trying to hold three other conversations at the same time with, like, people that weren't there. And
wow.
Having a lot of paranoid things, too, like the little flame boy, like you see in cartoons or something, little shadow of a flame thing, like a little smoky guy running around.
Wow.
And I would freak out and think that there was fire. And I was at a Target store one time and was very sure that it was the Target of a nuclear weapons testing site or something.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you name your store Target, you're kind of asking for trouble political climate, are you not?
And I crack up about it now, but I was running around telling everybody that there was going to be bombs dropping. And
no speed, huh? John, no speed.
After a while, I could talk to myself and, like, the other, like,
It's still really putting a big bullseye right on the sign. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble.
It was definitely the side of and everything.
All right. So, hey, John. Listen. Why don't you go on the website and check it out?
All right. I'll have to go to the library for that because I don't have a computer.
All right. You're still early in your injury. You know, it's only about 5 months. So.
Yeah.
I mean, things could come back. You might be able to walk again. You never know. I don't. What level?
8 or something like that. T8.
That's not really lumbar.
Why? Yeah, where's the T? How does it break down, the spinal column? What are the numbers? Where do they start?
7C.
Start where?
C1.
Yeah, where?
Up here.
Okay.
Where your
starting
skull
at the top. I don't know if it starts from the bottom or from the top.
So C1 is up higher.
C1 is where your skull attaches to your spinal cord.
And then goes down how far?
That's the one that's got a little... I'll get you the pictures.
All right, I don't want to see any pictures.
It's one they fracture when they hang you. They... into your brain with that one.
Good times.
Usually you'll die.
Yeah. And that's you can't breathe or anything at the upper cervical.
So you bust that one up, it's bad times.
So how many of these C's do you have?
Seven.
Okay.
Then you have 12 of the T's.
Okay. Wait a minute. You got the C's and the T's?
And
thoracic.
The
thoracic is T.
Right.
Cervical is C. Seven cervical, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar.
Right.
And then you have S, sacral.
But do they start at the top of the C's and move down to the T's.
The T's
and then what's lumbar at the bottom?
L, lumbar.
The higher you are, the less you have.
That's the less movement you have.
The closer to your the base of your head, skull, that's the least.
Like Christopher Reeve's like a C2 or something.
Yeah. So he's way up there.
Yeah. Way
ooh, we got how many vertebrae do you have? This one half.
5, 12, 24.
24?
That's right.
I don't know.
Plus, not including sacral. So.
If you want to count the sacral, that's a different show right there. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Drew's going to open his anatomy book and count up the vertebrae on the pretend man, and we'll be back. All right, well, that is just about it.
So basically, life rolls on. Just log on to my website. And I do motivational speaking. If you ever want me to come out to your school, just check out my website, sign up on the guest book, and email me and let me know what you want. And just come out to the events and support Life Rolls On and Spinal Cord Research and theywillsurfagain.com. And I want to thank the Offspring this event for me. It really means a lot. A big, big band like that coming out to support.
Well, you're doing all the work, man. It's fun for us. I'm stoked to be part of it.
I want to thank Jesse and Noodles for coming in here tonight. And when you guys... get the album out early in the year. Come back on.
Definitely,
and
yeah.
plug
thanks,
away.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
See ya.
Yeah, Drew's a real coos kisser.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.